Man, a kid just went by on his bike and he's reading manga on his phone while he's cycling home. That's pretty badass. It's a beautiful night in Chiba. It's about 6:45. Since it's mid-November, it's dead dark. And it rained earlier, so it's extra pretty out now. I'm trying to avoid the traffic on the main street, so I'm getting pretty lost. I don't know. This is very hard to do. All the other streets have a lot of dead ends. But whatever, I'm not actually trying to get anywhere in particular. So I thought I might end up breaking the streak today, where I've done a podcast every day since I've been in Japan. It's just amazing how much stuff there is to ramble about. Everywhere I go is something that I think is interesting. But yesterday was too interesting. Today was a fucking write-off. I woke up at like noon and it was raining out. And I was like, I think I can grab an umbrella and, you know, if I get outside, get going, that'll help me shake off my hangover. I'll be all right. And I just couldn't. I just went back to bed. I had a fitful sleep until like 5:30. But I mean, the bonus is now it's not raining. But yeah, I just got some food in me and some coffee and one of those cool vitamin C drinks. Those things are fucking great. I love those. Feeling better now. But yeah, so yesterday was the day that Norihiko, the guy who runs the Airbnb I met, invited me to an izakaya, which is like I guess you could call it a bar. Just a place where you go hang out, get food, get drinks. I've definitely never been to one because, even now that I've been and I know sort of the process, it would make no sense at all for me to roll in there with no Japanese knowledge and try to navigate those waters at all. So this was a very great opportunity to do something that I would not otherwise have done. And apparently these types of places, they're even sort of disappearing in general. These just kind of mom and pop little hangout restaurants. They're getting harder to find. But also, as I rambled about previously, yeah, this guy, Norihiko, his reviews from his Airbnb are just sterling. And I was saying how I'm such a weirdo. That's a little bit of a problem for me because I just kind of want to do my own thing. It's a little anxious about this whole process. But I knew it would be worth it, and it obviously was. So just the Coles notes, the real quick thing is, yeah, of course, when these opportunities come up, definitely do them. It's definitely worth it. But just don't drink too much. You know, it wasn't at all the fault of anything. The only downside to this fucking adventure is pretty entirely my fault. I had a really clear stopping point where I should have stopped drinking. But I didn't, and then the slippery slope led to just absurd amounts of drinking. But anyway, I'll get into it. So the idea was going to be that Norihiko, he's retirement age, I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's going to take me to this place where he was going to meet up with one of his friends who he had met also through the Airbnb, a guy who had stayed at his Airbnb, who now lived in Chiba, and he said, this guy lived in America. His English is good. He'll help you. You know, he'll help everything go smooth. So we get to this place. It's really close. It was like 2 blocks away from his house. And it's like you slide. I didn't even really gauge the place till I left afterward. You slide open this like, it was like a corrugated steel door, if I remember right, under like a low roof. And you go into this place that had 3 tables, and each table could hold like 8 people, and just a little washroom and a kitchen. And like I noticed more on the way out, you know, as we left, hours later, it's like I looked back behind me and I'm just like, wow, like look at that little place. Like I'm sure I've walked by 12 of those or more just little places where, unless you knew what it was, you knew to go in, you might hear sounds from inside, but it doesn't even look like a restaurant or anything. Well, I guess it did have those like curtains that they hang up to show that a place is open. It wasn't completely nondescript, but for me, as just a guy walking around, it's like, yeah, this is so neat, where that's exactly the kind of thing I would have just walked past. And now I get to go in and see how it all worked and stuff. So inside, what made it incredibly super foreigner unfriendly, but was very cool, is the menu was just handwritten stuff hung up around the walls. And just tons of it, like all the walls all around had just all kinds of different stuff with the amount. And most of the prices were pretty low, you know, things would be like $3 or whatever. Because you were mainly getting like a dish that you would share with the people you're with. And they're pretty small, and you just get a bunch of them, you get a bunch of different stuff. And there was sort of a baseball theme, the Tokyo Giants. So there's pictures of baseball stuff up and around, as well as all kinds of different. The place was real busy, a lot of stuff going on. It was hard for me to absorb it all, of just like ancient looking like scary masks and statues and weird stuff all over the place too. I think there was smoking. I think I saw cigarettes in an ashtray from the table behind us as we were leaving, but I never noticed that at the time. It's weird, because usually I find smoking just brutal. Like, yesterday I was standing outside of a 7-Eleven near a little ashtray thing, and a guy came over to smoke, so I moved way to the end, the other end of the 7-Eleven, and like around the corner, and I could still smell the smoke. So I don't know what kind of magical ventilation was going on in this izakaya, but I didn't notice the smoke at all. And that thing with the handwritten menu items all around on the walls, that reminded me of the best sushi place I ever went to in North America. It was this little place in Vancouver near Davie and Granville, like a block away from there, that was only open for, I don't know, I mean, it was there in like 2005. I remember when I moved back a couple years later, it wasn't there. And I think I heard that the guy moved to a bigger location, and then I don't know what happened from there. But I realize now that that guy in Vancouver was extremely traditional in his approach, because he had the handwritten signs, and he said he didn't want to spend money on... I became like buddies with this guy because I went there every goddamn day, because I worked at the Blends at Davie and Granville. He would let me skip in line and stuff when there was when it was busy. It was pretty cool. But he told me he didn't want to spend money on stuff like fancy pants signs and graphic design and stuff. He just wanted all the money to go into the ingredients. And he was the only one who prepared stuff, and he had like a helper, kitchen helper, but he did everything himself. And he didn't want to let anyone else do it. And they were open 6 days a week, and then the seventh day was when he went and bought ingredients for the upcoming week. And what he specialized in, at the time, there was this thing called futomaki that was popular in Vancouver that was shit, where futo just means big, I think. So they were maki rolls, but they were bigger than normal. But you just get a lot of filler and a lot more rice, and it's really lame. He did the opposite. He made these tiny little rolls. So you'd get a tuna roll, a cucumber roll, and a like tempura yam roll. And the three rolls would all be really small, and the whole thing was like $4. And it was so stupid good. It was still like the best maki rolls I've ever had. Where the hell am I? Maybe I'll head toward Inage Seaside Park. I'm not too far from there, and I didn't make it yesterday. I went to Chiba Park instead, which was also pretty nice. Big pond, lots of swans. So even though it's dark as heck out, you can still get a bit of a vibe for this particular park. But yeah, this guy in Vancouver, it would always be, I had a hard time deciding what order to eat stuff in. Did I say there was a cucumber roll? I think maybe there wasn't. I think that he had a veggie option. I think it was actually chicken teriyaki, tuna, and California roll. And I could never decide which one I wanted to end off on because each one was so delicious in its own right. Like, if you want to end with the best one, I would just shift it all the time because it was just so delicious. So we were there pretty early at like 4:30 or so because it gets real busy as the day goes on. So he said it was good to get there early so we could just easily get a table and have no worries there. And the guy and his girlfriend were already there. They are both, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s, pretty young, probably late 20s. And I don't remember their names, unfortunately, although I am Facebook friends with the guy. I meant to look it up before I left the house, but I don't have internet. I know it started with an SH. So I'm going to call him Shota after the wrestler Shota Umino. His name isn't Shota, though, but... And Shota's girlfriend was Japanese with a little bit of English. I'm not sure. I think her and Norihiko, pretty similar. I think Norihiko's English was actually a little better. But Shota was just 100% American. He is technically a Japanese citizen. He moved to America when he was 9. And yeah, he was just completely 100% totally American. So it was very easy. You know, it kind of, I mean, it did make the focal point of the evening almost always be on me and him, because that was the conduit. It needed to go through him to make sure everyone is understanding, that I understand what they said, that they understand what I'm saying. Though there were some points where the three of them just talked Japanese for a while, and I just drifted off and just stared at the place. And whenever they would apologize, I was like, no, please, please, go ahead. I just want to soak this place in, because it's so visually overwhelming. And this is so different from my other experiences in Japan that, you know, it's going to be like, I told Shota at one point, like, you know, this is going to seem like a dream to me later on. I'm going to be like, was I really there? Was I really in this place? Did I mention there was a sumo wrestling match on TV? But yeah, it was kind of funny too that Shota told me, he's like, yeah, you know, they're complimenting my English, that I can talk to you so easily. And I was saying, like, yeah, that's actually kind of funny because, you know, they can infer that your English is really good, but they don't actually know. They can't really say for sure what level of English you're at. I don't know if they actually know how good it is, that you are just 100% totally A+, fully English. You know, you're just an English guy. You're just an American dude. An American Japanese dude. Oh, shit. What's happening? Big wind just kicked up and I'm feeling raindrops, but I'm not sure if it's raining or if that's just blowing off of the trees. Uh-oh. I got an umbrella with me, but umbrellas are so bad when it's windy. Okay, sally forth. Yeah, it was also kind of neat where there's so many, you always hear about double entendres in Japanese. You know, there's all kinds of homonyms or ways that a symbol that they use to write a word has a double meaning that even if you study Japanese a lot, I think it's tough for non-natives to keep up with. And for me, I don't know any of it. Like, if you ever watch a fan subtitled anime where they try to actually explain every cultural reference and every joke and every pun, it's a nightmare. You have to just fucking pause at every screen and read a screen full of text. It's insane. So it's kind of neat that me and Shota had, we got to have our own little English one. We got to have our little weird English joke that only we would get. Where later on, once the place was totally full, he said, like, hey, look at that, you're the only white guy here. And I mentioned, like, oh, there were a couple other foreigners earlier. And he said, oh, I didn't notice. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got, you know, I always can feel the other ones, feel the other foreigners. Gaijin radar. And he's like, oh, yeah, you've got Gaidar. Which is obviously a play on Gaydar, which is, you know, the idea that if you have Gaydar, you can tell if somebody's gay. But I had Gaidar. I could tell if a foreigner was around. I mean, it's a dumb joke. But it's like, hey, look at that. I got to have a word pun joke. That ain't gonna happen again while I'm in Japan. Ooh, this wind is getting crazy. This can't be good. Does this mean doom is imminent? What is gonna come of this? But yeah, when you first go in, you get like a little a little bowl of like appetizers. And it was nice too that Shota could just walk me through, because he also knows what's culturally different between America and Japanese. So he's like, yeah, this is like these little like welcome dishes that you get. And it's a little bit of a strange custom because you do have to pay for them. They're not free, but they're not optional. You just get them. But you could also tell that he was Japanese at his core, because I didn't really recognize anything on this plate, but there was just like a little octopus, you know, like the squid tentacles, the whole thing. Which to me is certainly still a kind of weird thing, but he said, like, oh, I don't know, none of this stuff's that weird. This is all pretty standard, right? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I did eat octopus and squid tentacles and stuff from like 7-Eleven the other day, or New Days or whatever. So I guess you're right. It's not that weird. Just eat it. And then we got a round of Sapporo beer and basically just tried a whole bunch of different stuff. Let me see if I can remember. There were so many different little dishes. There was yakitori, which is just meat on a skewer. I think it was mainly chicken, but I'm not totally sure, but super duper delicious. I don't know, it's all kind of a blur, but basically as things went on, it kept getting a little more and more unusual. Because I was kind of guiding things that way as they were looking around at all the stuff on the walls, and they're like, what else should we try? And I was like, I don't know, like, what do you got that I won't have anywhere else? Like, let's do this. So like one of the things was, it was like a little mound of ground up daikon radish, kind of like a wet watery daikon, and a bunch of little tiny fish. I don't know what kind of fish it was. They look like little teeny tiny viper fish, kind of, without the horrifying teeth. And it was like 100 of them. And you just take a scoop, and it was actually not especially good. All this stuff was fine, but that one in particular was probably my least favorite, because it did just taste like watery daikon, and the fish didn't have much taste at all. But that was the one thing I put soy sauce on. They're like, oh, you probably want to put some soy sauce on that. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then, you know, mostly then at that point just tasted like soy sauce. But I had eel, which I've only had eel like once before, maybe twice, in Vancouver, and I didn't really like it. But whatever they did different here, this like barbecued eel was real good. It was fucking real good. I think it was the most expensive thing we got, too. And there was like a stew, like a beef stew. I guess if I think of anything else, I'll tell you, but just a shit ton of different little items that we're all just sharing, and it's fucking super cool and delicious. And as the place got more and more packed, you know, it's just a real nice, boisterous atmosphere, and that's one thing Shota said, is he's like, yeah, I think Japanese people, they just like this feeling. They like the feeling of just being close and everyone being all packed in. And I was saying how it reminded me a bit of being on an airplane, like, if I gotta go pee, I gotta squeeze past a bunch of people, but I had to go pee. So in the bathroom, they had a squat toilet. So, I mean, that was something we could yammer a bit about too. Just like, who likes squat toilets, who doesn't? Turns out nobody really likes them. Shota hated them. It's like these fucking things. But what was kind of funny there is they had a squat toilet, but it was also like carpeted in there, which just seemed like a bad idea. There's just bound to be a bunch of people hanging out drinking. A bunch of pee splash, but I guess if you just clean the carpet every day. But I've never seen a carpeted bathroom before where you're just pissing into a hole in the floor. That just seems like a bad mix. But it was also just full of weird baseball stuff and all kinds of cool shit. That was the one spot too where I had to watch it bump in my head, because it was far below my height to get into the washroom. Oh, we finished off with like the head of a tuna, where they barbecue the head. It wasn't like a full head, but it was some parts of the head, just like still on the bone, and you had to pick them off. Oh, I did well with my chopsticks too. That was nice. I managed to maneuver through everything with chopsticks, no problem. And it was really good because it reminded me of, there's a roll you can get in Vancouver called an Alaska roll that is barbecued salmon skin. And it's really good. And this reminded me of that because there was some barbecued skin as part of the stuff on the head. Oh, I think we got some yakisoba, but it was yakisoba made with udon noodles, And that was too, at that point, I was feeling pretty full. So Norihiko was like, hey, you want to get this fucking yakisoba thing? And I was like, I don't know, I'm pretty full. I made some joke about training to be a sumo. But he said, like, yeah, you think you're full, but once it's in front of you, you'll eat it. And man, he was right. Because yeah, once it was in front of me, yum, 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 delicious. And then the tuna head was the final thing we had. I think we didn't quite pick it clean. I guess that's a good sign that that's where we were done. It's like started getting a little tough to pick flesh from the bone with chopsticks, so we just kind of gave up. It's like, okay, that's the sign that we're done. However, alongside the food side, which was just the best, I mean, honestly, the best part was just the yakitori. It's just so fucking good. But everything was good in its own way, except maybe the daikon fish mound, which was just not bad, but just like, like, I think they were just trying to freak me out with that one. But the drinking, I have let this be the day. Well, what day is it today? I guess let yesterday be the day. Today is November 17th, so November 16th, 2023. Let this be the day that Keith is just done with drinking. Fuck drinking, you know? I mean, I'm still not much of a drinker anyway. Back home, I would drink with my cousin, maybe, if we were watching a movie. Here in Japan, I've gotten a couple of little strong zeros or whatever. But literally, like, twice, I think. And that's the kind of thing that's fine, you know, whatever. A little drink here and there, socially. If everyone's just having a drink, just have a drink. That's fine. But it'll be easy for me to follow through on this because I just don't drink that much anyway. And the excessive drinking is over because I have never... I feel like I've been more drunk in my life, but that's what made this worse. I've never been more sick in my life from drinking, but I was unpleasantly aware. I wish I was just fucking all fucked up and I blacked out or something. I was very aware of this whole proceeding and it was awful. So again, this isn't on them at all. This was a wonderful evening. Oh, I guess I should say too, the whole thing, I spotted when the bill showed up, it was $141 for all the stuff that we got, which is, I think, so split between us, what is that, like 35 bucks each? Which seems pretty incredible because, you know, we were there for hours. And beyond the food, we drank to excess. So that's not a bad deal at all. I guess it's because with each item, you're not getting four of them. You're just getting one. And it's not that huge of an item anyway. And we were just splitting everything. So it felt like a massive food adventure, an hours long, try fucking everything for 35 bucks a person. That's not bad at all. And Norihiko wouldn't let me pay. I would have been more than happy. I would have paid for the whole goddamn thing if they would have let me, but no, he insisted, and I mean, what could I do but let him? I'm not sure how much his Airbnb was. I should check. But basically, at least my first day in the Airbnb was just, you know, he just bought me stuff. I basically stayed for free. He really is the nicest guy in the world. I'm gonna leave this guy a hell of a review. Actually, I guess before I get into drinking, I'll talk about the Airbnb thing a bit too, because that's one of the things that Norihiko and Shota talked about a lot, is just Airbnb philosophy and how it was going with his Airbnb business. Because he's retired, pretty much Airbnb is all that he does. Man, just by the way, I'm walking down just every random street, just taking random turns, just trying to avoid the major streets. Like right now, I'm just walking down a pretty steep road down, curving around all these cool, weird buildings. Beautiful night out. There is a little bit of a lack of pedestrian stuff here in Chiba. It's definitely a little more car-based, but there's still enough. And yeah, just it's the best. I love just wandering around Japan, which I guess is what I'm going to be back to now. This was a one-off, the going to hanging out with humans night. Now we're back to just wandering, but man, I just love it. I love fucking walking around Japan is the best. But yeah, as they talked about Airbnb stuff, Norihiko was wondering if he should be raising his prices, because apparently he started doing this Airbnb stuff in 2016. Basically, he just converted the bottom floor of his house into Airbnb stuff, and him and his wife just live on the top floor. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. You got the space, and he just loves meeting people, and he obviously makes friends from Airbnb. I mean, I feel like if I come back to Japan, I gotta come back to Chiba, right? I gotta stay at this guy's place again. He's the fucking best. I'm all turned around on this hospitality thing. I should really just go for this, you know? It's obviously a more interesting experience than just me being purely by myself the whole time, even though that is my inclination, is just to be by myself all the time, and it makes me kind of uncomfortable to be thrust into new social situations. But, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. It's obviously the right thing to do. It's, although on the other hand, I guess because I'm so fucking wiped, I mean, I feel pretty good right now, but I've just felt like shit all fucking day. So I guess we'll say I'm fine with either. This is not going to turn me around into all of a sudden seeking out Airbnb hosts that'll take me on wild adventures. But if it should go that way, it's clearly good to spice that in a little here and there. Oh, I think I'm getting near the point where I gotta hang a left if I want to get to this park. So I think I might have a little traffic. Man, this is like a mega 1, 2, 3, 4, like 8-lane superhighway, 4 and 4, overpasses and all this crazy shit. I don't know where to go from here. This is getting a little confusing. On the map, I don't look like I'm at where I'm at, but I must be, because this thing hasn't failed me yet, so I don't know what the hell's going on. Okay, I think I know where I am, so there's gonna be a little bit of traffic noise, but not for too long. But yeah, so this dude, I mean, clearly, his house is gorgeous, everything's set up amazingly. He definitely could and probably should raise his prices. But they were asking me my advice, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess, obviously, I would like you to just keep them as they are, but I can't deny that. But then they asked, like, yeah, but is that why you're there? And I was saying, like, I don't exactly remember. I knew I wanted to stop on the way to the airport. And I do always sort by cheapest. So probably, you know, probably. Oh, wow, a drive-through Starbucks. Yeah, we're definitely in car country right now. I remember the first time I saw a drive-through. I mean, I guess Tim Hortons technically is a drive-through thing. But you don't always see fancy pants coffee shops that are set up for drive-throughs. The first one I saw was in like Etobicoke in Toronto. Drive-through second cup. Whoa, wind. Yeah, it's always quite a clear sign that you're not in pedestrian country. Oh, geez, yeah, and the place where I'm supposed to turn to get to this park, it's like a giant overhead thing. Can I even get out of here on foot? What the hell? What the hell? But anyway, another interesting Airbnb wrinkle is this guy Shoda. He, again, it's not his real name, but it was something like that. I mean, I'm just like bad with remembering people's names when I first meet them anyway. You really do have to make a point of it. Like, you really have to dedicate in that moment. You really got to be like, I'm going to really remember this guy's name. I'm going to have a phonetic trick or something to remember. Generally, the first time I meet somebody, I do not remember their name. And when it's Japanese names, I double don't remember. Man, yeah, this is weird. There's this big elevated thing. So do I walk up there or can I stay on the ground? I'm gonna try staying on the ground and see what happens. But theoretically, if I just walk this way, I'll get to this park. Yeah, big towering overpass over me. Big buses parked down here. Cars going by. This is not where you want to be walking. But yeah, so this guy Shoda, he has kind of an American job and a Japanese job. He had a pretty cool setup where he was complaining that he lived kind of in the middle of nowhere because his house is in Chiba, which is already, you know, not Tokyo, but it's also away from what transit there is in Chiba. So he has to take like a 20-minute bus ride. And it's extra bad for his girlfriend because she works in Tokyo. So she has to take like a 2-hour ride with nowhere to sit down half of the time to and from work every day. And it's like, ah, there's the classic Japanese commute. Yeah, that must suck. So when we were done at the izakaya, she had to go home. So she left and we continued on. But he has like an IT tech type job from America, where just for like an hour a day, he's gotta log in and do like a conference call and then everything else he does online. But on top of that, he also has a gig as an Airbnb, you know, he calls it like being a chambermaid. Like when somebody checks out at 10 a.m. and then the next person is coming in at 4, you got that window of time to get the room ready for the next person. Which if you just run one Airbnb, it's probably not so bad. But if you've got a bunch of them, he said it's really tough getting everything done in time. It's quite demanding. And this was one of his theories about why Airbnb prices have gone up so much, is that people's expectations have gone way up. Like all the places I used to love, where you're just in somebody's weird little hole in the wall corner of their house, you know, they just set something up for you. Like the one in Vancouver where I stayed in this guy's McMansion, where literally I was just in the hallway under the stairs between two rooms, and he just locked off the doors so that it became a little room. And I loved it because there was no windows. It was the darkest place in the world. But I was literally just in whatever little corner of this guy's house he could set up. But it was like $18 a day. I loved that shit. And he was saying stuff like that doesn't exist, he thinks, because people want a hotel level experience with Airbnb now. It's, you know, completely not the couch surfing roots anymore. Now everybody wants the towel and the shampoo and the soap and the fucking every little thing. Everything to be just right and just perfect, which is making all the prices go up. And I can't argue, that seems to be true, you know. It is very hard to just, if I just want to spend no money and have you barely give a fuck about me and just give me somewhere to sleep. It's just, I mean, I haven't been able to find places like that. So he's probably right. It does seem to be that way. We're being hoisted on our own petard, us Airbnb people. We want more and more and more, so we're paying for it. But yeah, as for drinking, so we had a beer, that was all good. Then I had shochu, which I believe was a wheat wine, which I don't know what percentage it is, but probably higher than the beer. And it was in a big tall glass. It just looks like water. It's very easy to drink. And at that point, that's where I just should have stopped. Two drinks, that's more than enough to mess me up. I mean, I even told Shota the little anecdote that the first time I tried Strong Zero, one Strong Zero, I was like feeling blitzed. And he's like, well, that thing you're drinking right now, that's only 9%. This thing you're drinking now is worse than that. So at that point, they were like, do you want any more to drink? Norihiko's gonna have more, but you know, nobody was forcing anything on me at all. And I was gonna stop, but not because of drunkenness, because I guess I just haven't been fall down horrifyingly drunk in years. I guess I forgot how awful it is. I was more concerned about just having to pee all the time with my legendarily small bladder. I didn't want to be the guy who was always having to go pee. Look at this. Georgia coffee. Only 100 yen. It's pretty rare to find these 100 yen machines at this point. Let's do it. Do I want Emerald Mountain Blend? I'll go with this Max Coffee. The right way, the wrong way, and the Max Coffee way. Ooh, that's fucking hot. But then the next thing that tipped me over was Shota and his girlfriend got rice wine. And how they do it is it's so cool. You get like a pretty small glass, but the glass is on a little saucer. So the glass is filled with wine and then the saucer has liquid in it. I thought maybe, is it like that the wine is hot? Because I know you can get Japanese wine hot sometimes. And then there's like cold water. I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, just give me one of those. Sure, I'll take that too. And that was the point where I just stopped being mindful of how much I was drinking. I don't know, it's just the switch flipped in my brain that now she's like, yeah, it's just okay. It's fine. Just drink whatever everyone else is drinking. It's all different stuff. Try new things. Just keep on going. Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Man, this is confusing. This is reminding me of when I walked from the airport in Montreal and just walking through this big, crazy industrial part of town where everything was enormous and huge and looming overhead and confusing as shit. I'm going to definitely have to find a different way home that is not this. But it turns out what was in the little dish was just more... this sucks. It's so loud, but I won't be out of here for a while. So it turns out what was in this dish was just more wine. And he said the idea is normally, or how this started, is that they would pour the wine in front of you. In this case, it was a little different because they just handed it to us this way. But it was to show, not only is your glass very definitely full, but they fill it and they just keep pouring until it also fills up the dish to show that your glass is 120% full. It is fuller than full. We have gone above and beyond with our hospitality. You get a shit ton of wine. And like, what a neat idea. So then as you drink, when you're halfway done, you just pour the extra from the dish into your glass and you have even more rice wine. Delightful. But yeah, I had the beer, I had the big glass of shochu, I had the rice wine. Then after there, what should we get? Should we get another drink? And I was like, oh, I noticed these people behind me were drinking highballs. That's one of the things I got from a convenience store now, I remember. I was like, let's get highballs. And they're like, fuck yeah, ganpai, highballs. So that was extra my fault. I'm the one who fucking suggested it. So 4 drinks. That's way too much for me already. Quite big drinks, all high alcohol content, you know, besides the beer. And even beer is more than enough to fuck me up. I am not tolerant of alcohol. But then as we left and Shota's girlfriend had to go home, I should say, I guess, you know, I'd make little attempts of like, I don't know, is there any inroads to what little I know about Japan that anyone else will know? But probably not, because I just like a bunch of real dumb shit. So like with the sumo wrestling on TV, I was like, hey, you know one thing? Sweet in Japan is puro resu, fucking pro wrestling. Okada, Tetsuya Naito, you guys know them? Famous Japanese wrestlers? They did not, you know. Yeah, the average person doesn't give a sweet fuck about wrestling. We did talk about video games a bit. I was saying, like, I am into some anime stuff, but really it's way more video games. And Norihiko and Shota's girlfriend, who were just fully Japanese, they were kind of under the impression that Japanese stuff wasn't really very popular in North America. So I had to say, like, I mean, it is and it isn't. Like, it is. It absolutely is. Everybody's into something from Japan. But again, it is probably not, like, your average person. It's still... I had to Shota, I was like, what is that word? You know, the obsessed fanboy. And he's like, oh, otaku. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the one. And they're like, oh, otaku. So I was like, yeah. So I mean, we have otaku in North America as well. So yeah, maybe generally your average person walking down the street might not necessarily be big into Japanese pop culture, but everybody's into some kind of video game when they're a kid or into some kind of Pokemon cartoon type shit. And then there's a good chunk of nerds that really stick with it hard. And I can't quite remember exactly how it came up, but this was the super obscure reference of the day that actually worked. It was something about counting and numbers and stuff, of like just what pathetically little Japanese I know. So with counting, with the number nana, I said like, oh, I know nana from the manga, nana. And Shota's girlfriend was like, ah, Ayazawa. And I was like, fuck yeah, Ayazawa. And I was like, yeah. So we had that was our one little bonding moment. We both know the works of Ayazawa, who was a super, super cool manga artist who developed a mystery illness and just stopped working. And no one quite knows exactly what it was or what happened. Nana is her most famous work. It's these two girls, both named Nana, which means seven. But my favorite of her stuff is called Paradise Kiss. It's shorter as well. It's only 5 volumes. Nana goes on and on. It's like 22 volumes. But Paradise Kiss is like 5 volumes, and it's really good. It's about this girl who gets roped into being a model for the fashion students at her school because she's very tall. And it's very good. So yeah, I don't know, I guess I won't belabor all the drinking stuff, I guess, because it's just drinking. But basically, we went back to the Airbnb, us three lads. And Norihiko pulled out the fucking 35% whiskey that was almost entirely full. And, like, I just don't even know how it happened. There's whiskey, there's seltzer, there's ice cubes. And just through the course of the evening, there was no more. There was no more whiskey. And Shota was really feeling it. He, like, basically slumped over at one point. So I was like, I'll help you out, buddy. So I just drank the rest of his, even. That was just ridiculous amounts of drinking. Fucking out of control. But the weird thing about it is, like, I didn't feel very drunk. Like, even as we were hanging out, Norihiko, he stayed out of it. He's like, he knew he had had enough. But he was being a good host, and I was not paying attention anymore to what I was drinking. Let's crack open this coffee. I think I'm almost past all this traffic, almost at this park. Oh, I never finished that anecdote either. So the reason they live a 20-minute bus ride away in Chiba is they knew a guy who had a house, like a spare house he wasn't using, that had been empty for like 7 years. So even in the super megalopolis of Tokyo, in Chiba and the surrounding areas, sometimes there's just houses that just no one has gotten around to doing anything with. So they kind of took stewardship of this 4-bedroom house. That message was next to a spinning orange light. It's like, is that warning me of danger? I don't know what that said. So yeah, the rent was about $600 American, so $300 each for an entire house. And I was like, man, that's a pretty sweet deal, dude. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I know it is, but it's just wearing me out being so far away from everything. And, you know, I guess it is, the grass is always greener or whatever. But yeah, he was also asking me my kind of Airbnb philosophy, because he was saying, like, with properties like that, like, what would that be a thing he could do? Like, what if he did get some properties that are much cheaper because they're out of the way and set them up, you know? Maybe even have some weird program where if you have somebody who's kind of a handy person, let them stay super cheap, if not for free, and help fix up the house, you know, stuff like that. And I said I thought it was a great idea because I love being on the outskirts. Like, to me, that's better. Like, for instance, what is east of Narita? I'd love to go east of Narita, but if there's any Airbnbs there, I didn't see him. But he didn't, probably rightly so, he didn't really take my advice too strongly, because you could just tell, like, yeah, I mean, you're one guy. Sure, you like to go weird places and you like to be on some odd spot on the Tokyo map, but I don't think the average person necessarily wants that. And he's probably right, because I would also expect it to be cheap. So it might not be the best business plan in the world. But yeah, as we sat around the house drinking, two other Airbnb people checked in. They were a brother and sister from Colombia, though the sister was living in Australia. And she was basically bringing her brother along on this trip to Japan, then they were going to Singapore, then back to Australia. And he was going to stay there for a year to work on his English. Her English was really good. He barely spoke, so I assume his English was not. But even though I was drunk out of my mind, like, I just feel like everything went fine, you know? We were all just hanging out, and we greeted them, and they got shown around how everything worked. And it wasn't one of these cases where, I mean, I've had times where the next day after drinking, you don't remember all the stupid shit you did until later, and then the gong hits, and you're like, oh, geez, what the hell? I fucking embarrassed the shit out of myself. In this case, jeez, when does this road fucking end? This is just this endless fucking mega traffic nightmare. I could have swore I'd be at the end by now. God, this sucks. I picked the wrong place to try to go. Fuck, I'm like halfway. Come on, man. This fucking sucks. I hate this road. So yeah, I noticed though, this was my first distinct sign that I'd made a huge error. Is when I was just hanging out in the common room talking to these folk, getting their stories about Colombia and Australia and yada yada, I felt fine. But then I went to the washroom, and I just sat down to pee, and then I could feel, it's like this awful fucking strobing feeling when you're really drunk. Like, my head was just, like, moving half a foot forward and then resetting, and half a foot forward and resetting, and half a foot forward and resetting. Like, I was just going, whoom, 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 whoom. And I was like, oh, no. I haven't felt that in years. This is fucking bad. But then I got up and went back, and I mentioned it to them. I was like, geez, you know, this is weird. When I was in the washroom there, I just felt like I was crazy drunk. But when I'm just sitting here talking to you guys, I feel fine. And I really did. It was totally fine. It's like, as long as I had something to focus on. But yeah, then poor Shota, he slumped over. He just slumped over on the ground. And it's like, oh geez, because he was quite a bit shorter than me too. So we both drank about the same amount, but I guess it hit him first. But since this Airbnb I was at, like, the brother and sister had their own room. And I was in this communal area where there's four bunks, but it was just me. No one was in the other three bunks. So we got him into one of the bunks, and he threw up in a garbage can, a little garbage pail. But we tucked him in, we got rid of his barf, gave him another garbage can to hold on to, just in case. And even with this incontrovertible evidence in front of me, I still somehow thought, like, ah, maybe I'm getting away with this, though. Maybe it'll be fine for me. So they went to bed, and then, yeah, then I was just by myself. There was no one to talk to, no one to focus on. I wonder if I could have just stayed up all night talking to somebody, would that have kept things? I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. But one thing that is annoying about drinking for me, one reason why I don't drink much, is because I don't get just like blackout drunk. I don't pass out. I just stay awake and stay relatively aware. And in this case, I was very aware. I really didn't feel drunk, but once all the lights were off and it was time to lay down, everything just came crashing down on me. I just felt so awful. My stomach felt awful, my head felt awful, and it's just so unpleasant. I'm not even going to try to describe it too much, because it just sucked. But it was so bad that I had to literally crawl to the bathroom, painstakingly slow. And I was in there for like 45 minutes. And I was trying to be quiet about it. I at least had a fan going, so I hope that blocked me out some. But I think being relatively aware, relatively sharp-minded feeling with all this horrible stuff happening, I was like angry. It's just like, how can it feel this bad? How can I feel this awful? What the fuck? And I just started eventually just like moaning, more like bemoaning my sad fate. I was just like, ah, no, why? And the other thing that is probably a bad thing, but it's just how it is that I just don't throw up. I never throw up. I've thrown up from food poisoning before, but if I've ever thrown up from drinking, I don't remember. It might have been one time. But this time I threw up. That's how bad it was. Just on the floor with my head on the fucking toilet, which I didn't even appreciate at the time. It had a heated toilet seat, but that certainly didn't hurt. If you're gonna have to throw up in a toilet, an awesome Japanese toilet is the one you want. But yeah, it's such a strange feeling because I so rarely feel it, but you just feel these contractions starting in your like upper stomach and in your chest. And it's like, all right, it's coming. But even then, I was like, still just like, do it. Just like angry. Just like, good, fucking do it then. Just do it. Just fucking throw up. Like, I was angry at my own body. Like, what is, just do it then. Fuck. What is wrong with you? Why am I this fucked up? So all the delightful food that they fed me throughout the day, sadly expelled. But I mean, it was obviously for the best. That did make me feel a bit better. But even just getting from the floor to like be sitting on the toilet, awful, an awful nightmare. Hurt so bad, felt so terrible. I was in there forever. And then eventually I had to again crawl back to the bed with a little garbage pail in case I needed to throw up, move the garbage pail forward, slide myself forward on my hands and knees, slowly make my way across the living room back into the bedroom, back into the bunk room. Very painfully get into my bunk. Lying down just like really felt bad. And then everything settled a little. And it was just so miserable. I just can't believe how much it sucked. So no more drinking. Because then, yeah, I woke up today, felt a lot better, but not good enough to actually get out of the house. Just had to go back to bed. And then even when I woke up at like 5:30, it's like, I don't know, this is still pretty dicey, but I gotta go outside and I gotta get something to eat. And now I'm feeling pretty good. I think, you know, obviously by tomorrow I'll be perfect. But right now I'm fine, I'm good. But that's how this was, you know, in many ways, probably the greatest triumph of this trip, that I actually met some people and actually did something culturally Japanese and actually went outside of my comfort zone rather than just walk around by myself. So that was wonderful. That was good stuff. Man, this is fucking windy. This is gonna be a kind of shit episode of this podcast. Loud traffic, tons of wind everywhere. But anyway, to try to look at the upside now that I'm on the other end of this thing, this is probably a good lesson to learn. It's incontrovertible proof that I gotta stop drinking. No more drinking. Very casual social drinking only. Because I'm sure I've drank more than that, and I'm sure I've been more fucked up than that, but I've never been in more pain from drinking. It's not even close. It was unbelievably awful. It was a true nightmare. And I mean, it's probably that, I mean, the last, Jesus, this wind. The last time I had a real run of drinking a lot was when I lived in New York, and I mean, that was like in my late 20s. So it's probably just that I'm just too fucking old for this shit. You know, even though I was very drunk, but I wasn't my maximum drunkenness, but my body just can't handle this fucking crap anymore. It just can't. Drinking was never that fun for me in the first place, and now it is just a nightmare. It was so fucking horrible. So yeah, the two drinks would have been fine. The third one was too many, but at least it was interesting to learn about the glass of rice wine in the dish of additional wine, the 120% wine. That was pretty cool. So that was worth it just to learn that thing. Everything else, highballs and whiskey, that's not interesting. That's just drinking. Fuck that. Fuck that bullshit. Big mistake. Nice going, Keith. Nice fucking going, you moron. But hey, as long as you don't do it anymore, a lesson was learned. Just stick with coffee. Coffee's your friend. But all right, before we call this to a close, I got a report on this park. I must be almost there. Okay, yeah, I'm pretty much there. But I just can't imagine this is gonna be any good. Like, it's been an industrial fucking horror walk to get here. Just big, giant, I feel like Large Marge driving by me constantly. The blacker than black skies. And this wind is weird. It's never been this windy before when I've been in Japan. So, given that, Jesus, now it's like blowing me back. Given that you're clearly not really intended to walk here, and all I see in front of me is darkness, there's no way this is gonna work out well, right? There's no way this park is gonna be a good fucking destination. I'm near on the map. Oh, Jesus. What the fuck? What the fuck? Aqua Rink Chiba. But I don't see any entrance to this park. Everything over there is just dark. And there's a huge pipeline coming out of the ground. What the hell is this shit? Or I'd find a walk light at least. I mean, I can see the bay way in the distance. I can see lights of the city. That looks like a fucking Ferris wheel somehow, way over there. Woohoo! Alright, I got a walk symbol. At the same time that the car's gotta go. I don't know what the fuck that's all about. Oh, because they're turning around this turnabout, okay. Oh, is that the sky tree? Nah. It would be lit up if it was the sky tree. But there's something very tall over there. All right, well, I'm just walking alongside what I presumably is this park. I saw this park listed too. It's like, I just looked up out of curiosity, top things to do in Chiba. I think it was TripAdvisor again, and it's just sorted by most likes. This was relatively high on the list, but I've clearly approached it from the wrong way. I can see a drink machine through the trees, but how do you get in there? Because I'm just walking on a not extremely well-lit pathway. I mean, it's a pretty wide paved path next to... This is a somewhat calmer. It's only four lanes of traffic instead of eight. I don't know what the heck is going on. This has been a bit of a failure. Actually, I noticed this too about the park. At least the wind has died down now. I noticed this about the park where I saw Fuji from. Is that also, if you get caught on the outside of it, you just have to walk along the outside edge of the park with no way to get in. Is this a thing, Chiba? Is this how you do things? It's a little weird. I don't know, maybe it's to block it off because this traffic is not that far. Maybe they just want to block off the sound from the traffic in the park. Because there's a fuck ton of trees between me and this park. Or I guess it's similar to the scary park I went to on the Tobu line as well, where because it was car country, I just needed to find the car entrance. So anyway, I guess I'll stop back in if I actually figure out how to get in this park. And if I don't, whatever. And now I'll just try to find a way to mosey on back that's a little less miserable. Once again, Japan has shown me that trying to take a direct route to get to somewhere, it's probably not the best way to get there. All right, I managed to find my way into this park. The wind is only getting crazier, so there's a bunch of sports fields and stuff that are all chained off with fences, so I think that's where I was on the end I was at, why I couldn't get in. So I made it to like the central entrance. And there's a couple of people walking around, but it's still very dark and spooky. There's a washroom here, which had a squat toilet, and I was like, oh, geez, I guess maybe I'll just hold it. But then they had a Western-style toilet. Sweet. And then when I got down by the waterfront, I think what the draw of this park probably is that there's a beach down there, a pretty extensive beach with sand and everything. On a nice day, it's probably nice, but at night, it's dark and frightening. But there was like a weird promenade thing that went out into the water that had like a Bioshock Infinite feel, you know, like a 1910 State Fair kind of feel. And there was a guy out at the end of it, but I was just walking toward it because it was really lit up. And I could see that the water is real choppy. These waves are getting pretty, pretty big. So I didn't actually walk out onto the promenade thing because the whole thing is just spooky and had a weird vibe. And whatever that guy's doing out there, he doesn't need me bothering him. He got there first and I don't actually really want to be here. So then the park continues along and it's much more well lit on this other side. But I mean, whatever, it's the middle of the goddamn night. No, it's not. It's like 8:30, but it's super dark. No one's here. Nothing's going on. This was a random thing to try to get to. But clearly, whatever goes on here, it goes on in the day. At night, this is not the place to be. So I'm not gonna bother exploring more of the park. But yet this weather is getting spooky. Hopefully I can just walk home and everything will be good. But this does have the distinct feeling of like the prelude to me getting hit by tropical storm go fuck yourself. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I'm glad I brought two layers. I've got a big fuzzy hoodie and my rain jacket thing that I bought in Montreal. It's not actually cold out. This is too many layers for this. It's like 14 degrees. but sure is good for the wind. Double hoods, because that wind is fucked. But all right, out of the park, back to civilization. Oh, well, it turns out I really took the wrong route, because the road that goes to the center of Inage Park, it's so nice and calm. I mean, it's still four lanes. There's a little bit of traffic, but not any of that crazy truck stuff that was going on. Ooh, still a lot of wind, but that's a separate issue. But that's kind of a shame. I just didn't know. Part of me is like, should I just try to re-record the podcast not on a truck-filled mega highway, but I just, whatever, whatever. I've really been trying to not do that anymore, to not record around extreme traffic sound, but today I made a mistake. But yeah, it's nice though to see that apparently there are nightmare truck routes in Chiba, but it's not like the whole thing is that, because this is pretty much the next major street over, and it's a world of difference. It's nice and calm, big sidewalks, very pedestrian friendly. I guess that would be my Chiba advice that I will also be taking from here on in. If you're in an area where it really feels like you're not supposed to be walking, you're not supposed to be walking there. Just go a little to either side, and you'll probably have a better time. But also, I think one just weird little anecdote about the evening that I think I started to say and I got turned around. So Shota's girlfriend asked what social media stuff I was on. And the one that kind of made me smile was, she said, are you on Twitter or X? And that was just funny because for any future historians, so Twitter, good old Twitter, social media giant, although I have a Twitter account, but I don't know, for a very long time it has felt like, I don't know why I have this. I don't know what the point of this is. At least with Instagram you get nice pictures, and with Facebook you can keep up with actual people that you know. Twitter, I don't know. I mean, it's a handy device for world events, and I don't know. It has its uses, but for day-to-day hanging out, I wouldn't miss Twitter. But noted rich guy Elon Musk bought Twitter and renamed it to X. And one of my friends was telling me that apparently he tried to pull this before. I think it was with PayPal or something. He was trying to get them to change the name to X. So he's had X.com for some time, and he's just been itching to make something be called X. And it's one of those things where you see the pattern coming a mile away, that, you know, I just call it Twitter. I'm just gonna always call it Twitter. But like people on, you know, when I'm listening to like wrestling podcasts is a good example, because that's what I listen to. It'll start off being sarcastic. The wind. It'll start off being sarcastic of like, oh, you know, earlier today I was on Twitter, or X. And it's like, ah, ha, 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 X, how silly. And then just over the course of the next month, they're just calling it X. You know it's going to happen. You're going to jokingly call it X until you're just calling it X. You can't give in. You can't call it X, ever. Just call it Twitter. It's not even a funny joke to jokingly call it X. Just don't call it X. It's a dumb fucking name. It still tweets, it's still retweeting. It doesn't even make sense to call it X. But whatever, that's in the smart alecky North American sphere. I just thought it was kind of interesting to see that same process was happening in Japan, but it was very earnest from her. She just wanted to make sure it was clear that I knew what she was talking about. She said Twitter or X, you know, there was no sense of that kind of like, baha, X. It was just, that's what it's called now, Twitter or X. But it's just interesting to see on the other side of the world, in a completely different society. She said, yeah, Twitter's really popular in Japan. We're, you know, Japan's really into it. But they also have to grapple with the fact that some weird guy decided to start pretending that it's called X. And, like, how do you deal with that situation? I don't know. I guess all you could do is say Twitter or X. Maybe that's not the most fascinating anecdote of all time. But I thought it was interesting, and I guess because of the limited number of Japanese people that I actually have the opportunity to talk with in Japan, I guess I try to extrapolate a lot from a little. So from that, I just got a little taste of, like, oh, so this is what it was like in Japan when the name of Twitter changed to X, you know? We all had to deal with that weird and somewhat dumb situation. It brought us all together in not knowing what to call a freaking weird, dumb little app. Oh man, there's like a nightmare bridge in front of me. Surely to fuck, that's not where I want to go. Ooh. It is, in fact, where I want to go. Well, again, I guess I'll just try to walk along the edge of it and see what happens. But yeah, one other last little thing. I'll make this quick since I'm kind of getting back into Trafficsville now. One thing Norihiko said he did this twice, in fact. I don't remember the specific name of it, but there are these prefectures south of Tokyo that are islands. Like, I don't think Okinawa is one of this particular set of islands, but that's the most well-known example. But there's a bunch of little islands. And there are these 88 shrines spread amongst the islands, and it's like a cool thing to do to go see all the shrines. That was interesting too, though, as we were talking about shrines and pilgrimages and stuff. They also did bring up that it is like a strange kind of middle ground in Japan, where Japanese people, like, there's all this religious stuff everywhere, but people are generally not actually very religious, even though this dude did the 88 shrines twice. He's really not particularly religious. It's just a thing that you do because it's a neat, cool thing to do. But this is a good example of just how mega ignorant I am, that, you know, I'm just kind of, I pick up stuff from walking around and seeing what I see, but I don't actually know the underlying meaning of freaking anything. Is one thing Shota brought up that I legitimately didn't know this, I had no idea, is that the shrines and the temples are two different religions. One is Shinto, one is Buddhist. I guess maybe in North America it would be maybe akin to, like, not knowing the difference between a Christian church and a Catholic church or something. I don't know. Maybe that's not even a good example. But shrines and temples, two entirely different things, which I guess made me realize I know a little bit about Buddhism. I don't actually know anything about Shinto, so much so that it didn't really occur to me that it's a different thing. Probably wouldn't kill me to look that up a little bit. But yet another important thing that I learned hanging out at the izakaya. Right, I am in fact walking along the side of this bridge. I did not have to go up it, so that's good. But yeah, I think I better shut this off and just figure out how to get home. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next episode.